Chris here. We had originally planned to have smaller bonus episodes to release monthly for subjects that didn't have as much info on them, but we opted to keep the podcast as simple as possible. This was initially made for that purpose, but we decided to upgrade it to a full episode because we like the topic and we think you will too. Also, I know I talk about muffalettas in this episode. This is the second episode I've talked about muffalettas. They're just that good. Go to New Orleans and buy yourself a muffaletta. You won't regret it. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the episode and see us every Tuesday.
Welcome y'all to Backwoods Obscura, a podcast dedicated to the lore, legends, and myths surrounding the creatures that may lurk in your backyard. My name's Hewitt.
I'm Chris. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
That's good.
About to do something different. About to do something special.
Yeah, we're actually doing a small bonus thing this
time. Bonus episode. So, with these, this is when Chris and I are going to really touch on some of the fun urban legends, more than some of the cryptids and stuff. That especially ones that don't equal really a full episode.
Yeah, some things just don't pan out as well.
Well, it doesn't take a whole thing. I'm going to tell you about the Devil's Toy Box.
Oh, is this like a toy box from the devil?
No, but I'm also not talking about the ghost hunting tool known as the Devil's Toy Box. I'm not talking about a piece of anatomy sometimes called the Devil's Toy Box. I'm talking to you.
We just had to bring it into... Okay.
I'm going to tell you about the legend of Farmer's Grave. So, stick with me here, Chris. Stick with me. We're going back to the far distant year of 2014.
Oh, shit.
Tamagotchis have just hit the shelves. Gwen Stefani has just been declared old. My child has just been born. It's a simpler time. Compared to what we're dealing with now, sometimes it's a better time.
I was going to say, I think your timeline is messed up, but...
Yes, I understand that Elvis just had his number one hit at this time of Blue Suede Shoes.
I was going to tell you about that. I was going to tell you about how the Beatles had just come out.
Anyway, in the far-off distant year of 2014, somewhere along the back roads of northeast Louisiana.
It's always the back roads.
It's Halloween season. It's October, the witching month. Haunted houses are popping up everywhere. Corn mazes, wandering through the woods, haunted barns, haunted hay rides. Evil visions opening up inside the remains of the carcass of Ivan Smith's furniture. Seventh Gate opening in Baton Rouge. All of the haunted hells.
I like how
forth.
You mentioned Ivan Smith furniture as if anyone outside of Louisiana is going to get that.
Okay, an abandoned furniture store became the most recent haunted house in our area. Thank you for breaking the immersion here for the story, Chris.
Yeah, just doxing us again. Doxing.
He's
Doxon Hewitt. I forgot your name.
Doxon Hewitt.
Doxon Hewitt is over here doxing us.
Well, depending on how you spell it, I do have a dachshund.
That's true.
Anyway, you're cruising along the back roads of northeast Louisiana. And all of a sudden, you see a homemade billboard out of plywood and 4x4s on the side of the road. Devil's Toy Box, next exit. Well, I should say, Devil's Toy Box, 1 mile. Devil's Toy Box, 1/2 mile. Devil's Toy Box, next exit. You get off the road. You get off the main highway and you go travel. You're not in a small town yet. It looks like somebody's farm. You can hear the blaring music of the era, sounding like a bad rendition.
Is it Zydeco?
No, it's North Louisiana, dude. You're listening to a bad rendition of a Blade soundtrack.
So, it's a Blade soundtrack? Okay, I thought it was going to be like try that in a small town or some shit.
No, that didn't exist yet.
Oh, true.
because rednecks still had testicles at this point.
Okay. I mean, disputable, but...
What the viewers at home don't realize is we're both just shrugging in a level of acceptance of maybe. However, there's lights. There is a Spirit Halloween animatronic in the waiting line. The electric man that shakes and yells. Music is blaring. There's a smoke machine that someone must be pumping in through a dry ice attachment, which you can find out how to make on YouTube even back then, to make it a low-flowing fog that goes around the area. Now, of course, there's your haunted. You're haunted.
Haunted?
You're haunted, corn maze.
The haunted corn maze.
You're haunted hay bale ride that goes through the blood barn. But also on this property is a small ramshackled cabin known as the Devil's Toy Box. From the outside, it looks like any other abandoned small building. Maybe 12 by 12. Outside, there is a electronic clock that reads 4 minutes. And above it says, longest lasted.
It's Duracell. I knew it.
As you enter in through the door, what you see around you is a room that is nothing but mirrors. The floor is plexiglass over mirrors. All the walls are mirror. The ceiling is mirror. You have the infinity stance. And there is a mild strobing of LED lights. And you're told to last as long as you can inside this box. Now, at first, it doesn't seem that bad. Unless, you know, you're susceptible to strobing lights and it would cause a seizure.
If you're susceptible to seizures, I would not go in there.
As you stand in there, your mind starts to play tricks on you as you look into the infinity of the reflections. No matter what way you look, even the door has a mirror over it. Eventually, your own reflection is making expressions that you are not. And that's when you hear,
"He's coming for you."
You quickly look over your shoulder, and behind you, there stands a man as white as a cotton field, hair slicked back, wearing a suit and a tie, and a smile wider than the delta of the Mississippi River. And all he says is,
"Okay."
And that's when you lose your mind. And you're left as a drooling pile upon the plexiglass-covered floor. Because only has your sanity been robbed from you, but also your soul by the devil.
Oh, dang. I done fail for the devil.
So this is the story that is told about the devil's toy box, that it is a infinity mirror room with strobe lights, much like the small handheld ghost tool that is supposed to trap spirits within it so they can communicate with you through the strobing lights, which I'm going to be honest, people who do ghost hunting, find a better tool, because I ain't fucking waiting for Morse code to decipher what a ghost is telling me. But
what about the obelisk?
That's at least fun.
Yeah, it kind of does that womp womp.
Like, I want all of a sudden, womp, womp, my thing with the obelisk, Chris, is all of a sudden, fuck. Shit. Right.
Okay, so I watched
balls.
If you've ever seen Watcher, they do Ghost Files, and the fucking obelisk called them nerds, and it's the most hilarious shit.
I love that. This is like one of the few tools I would take. I'm sitting there laughing at the ghost trying to roast me while I'm sitting in the murder basement of a prison. But in any case, that is the story. Now, there's some additional notes to this. Sometimes it's not just that the devil steals your sanity and your soul. He flays you like Baker style, like Hellraiser flaying.
So, Hellraiser flame or like Hellraiser the movie?
Hellraiser the movie flaying you.
Oh, flaying.
Flaying.
Okay. I thought I heard flame.
No, flay, like remove the skin from your body.
Yeah, okay, cool, tight.
To deglove you.
Degloving.
The full body circumcision.
Full body circumcision. We're just removing everything just to make sure you're not tempted by the devil's hand. Idle hands are the devil's playground, as they say. As he rips
all the skin off your body. Now, here's the deal. The thing about Farmer's Grave is there's some... Like, so here's the story. That's like every other... It's every other urban legend, internet creepypasta, but here's the deal. The stuff about Farmer's Grave is that there was an attraction that closed after several deaths slash mental disturbances. Like, there was a 52-year-old man who was left mute. Multiple heart attacks left around after 90 seconds, men and women. About a couple 17-year-olds went mad being left in the room too long, and there were 3 suicides later on. These are all things that are the evidence for this story. But there's a massive problem.
Let me say what the massive problem might be. Can I make a guess?
Yes.
Ain't no evidence.
None of this made it to the story. Now, they're, of course, using the internet as our goal here.
The internet, yes.
The internet goes, hey, the reason there's no evidence is because they went hush, hush, say no more. Like the farmer, the people who own the property paid them. Okay, let me go ahead and tell you. If you're running a haunted house on your goddamn farm, you do not have the money to pay off anybody to not print a story. This is a step below carnival attractions.
Okay, so every time I hear something about, like, something online now, I'm like, this doesn't seem right. This seems fake. Someone's like, or you try to disprove it, and they're like, oh, well, whatever. They just dismiss it outright, say you're lying or some shit.
Well, here's the deal with this story. Before we break down what elements made this a viral sensation a couple years ago. Because most of the information I got off of this was either through the original story post, which is forever long. It is like a full-on short story. But also a lot of news sites from throughout South Louisiana. So, first off, this story popped up in 2015. It is a internet viral horror short story written by Joel Farley. The goal was to actually make people go look for something like this in the backwoods of Louisiana. Like, the whole goal was make people drive the highways to find this one creepy-ass attraction.
So it wasn't even like it wasn't, it was completely manufactured to begin with.
And it's the story of the Devil's Toy Box is 100% a fake internet story. But here's the deal. There are people who claim to have actually seen this in real life because of the Mandela effect.
Are people just run away with it, basically?
Well, it's not even just that. The thing is this plays on a very essential fear. One that I have. I don't like mirrors. I definitely don't like mirror on mirror. Like the scene in Donnie Darko where like it's mirror on mirror and then like the rabbit's 4 rows back and not in any of the other reflections. Freaks my shit out. Like, I don't like mirrors. I mean, like, that's why in my house there's one in my bathroom and one in my other bathroom. And no other mirrors in my house. I do not like them because mirrors function as gateways for a whole lot of stuff. Like, there's the whole thing, have you ever watched yourself blink in the mirror?
I feel like there's a lot of that is just, like, old school. Like, a lot of kids that grew up in the 80s and 90s, like we did, that they had parents or grandparents that just had a lot of mirrors everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you remember my old house. We had a bunch of extra mirrors around there.
My grandmother just... There were mirrors all over the place. I remember in her hallway.
And, like, not even useful mirrors. Like, tiny mirrors.
She had, like... No, she didn't have a little tiny mirror. She had a full-body mirror in the hallway. When you go into the hallway to go use the bathroom, there would just be a full-body mirror there.
Yeah, that's freaky.
Yeah. I don't know why it was there. It made no fucking sense. And then she had, like, a giant, like, mirror in the dining room. So when you were going to make food on Christmas, you would just have this full body mirror.
That's such an old person thing. But here's the deal. The fear of mirrors is a guttural fear for a lot of people. Myself included. Like, I've done multiple Monsters of the Week where the bad guy was...
You almost killed us.
A mirror, yeah. I nearly killed y'all with freaking Bloody Mary.
Yeah, my character having like 6-7 knives and
having like the whole silverware set in one leg. But no, the thing is it, hey, play, no, it, th- it that's is what it is. Here's the deal. The mirror on mirror reflection is something that is off-putting, especially if there's a mirrored floor or a mirrored ceiling. Except for those, you know, narcissistic people that put them on the ceiling for certain things. But the thing is that this is not an unbelievable part of a haunted house attraction, because we've all gone through a maze of mirrors.
Yeah.
And every maze of mirrors I've ever gone through doesn't necessarily have strobing lights, but has like the slow, like
the flickery.
Well, it's not even that, the slow moving color alterations that are on, like, you know how there's strobe and there's flash and then there's shift when you have RGB lights.
Yeah. And any haunted house I've been to, whether it's been in the country or just like in someone's backyard, they throw a few mirrors in there just to fuck with you.
Because all of a sudden you come around a corner and you see something, even if it's you. But so, and also, here's the deal. We all have been to a haunted house that has mirrors reflecting a mirror. This is why so many people say they've been inside the Devil's Toy Box. They've seen the Devil's Toy Box. They've heard of the Devil's Toy Box, because everything about the setup of this story up until the devil steals your soul or steals your skin is very much just a traditional haunted house attraction. And so strobing lights in a room full of mirrors, it's going to mess with your senses, throw you off. And also, how many times is there, how long can you sit in this creepy space type challenges?
Of course. Like, we used to do that back in the day, especially if you've ever been urbexing.
Yeah.
Like, a teenager in an abandoned place, you tell one of your friends to go sit in some abandoned place, and yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing, is that's what gives us credence. Now, again, this is not to do as I've done in many cases, and I've been accused of shitting on things, but this one is fake. This is 100% fake, but it's a good story. But it also lends itself to one other thing that I'm gonna look into in the future, unless you do. And that is tulpas.
Oh, so like thought forms.
Thought form. Like, you think about this being real so much that eventually
it is
real. It is real. And I feel that this is one of those things that could become that, because there's other stories. Like, here's Dale. It's like, it's 3 hours north of New Orleans. So people swear it was just north of Alexandria. Some people swear it was over near Leesville. Some people swear it was over in Jenna, which thank God it wasn't. Or it was over near Vidalia. Or some put it south of Monroe, but north of Columbia. You know, there's one that says, you know, everybody says it's 3 hours, but it was over near Ruston. So, I mean, this is one of those things that pops up. And because of the nature of the internet, it spread. And the fact that they said it in Louisiana, because I don't even believe I'd have to double check this. I didn't find anything about Fairley personally, but I don't think he was actually from Louisiana. So if you're in another state and you want something weird to happen, Louisiana is your perfect state.
We have the southernness.
Well, it's not just like that.
It's southern culture, but we also have the spookiness. Like, if you're going to talk about any other like southern state, you talk about like sort of an old world feel.
Here's the difference, is if you look at Louisiana, we have hoodoo / voodoo or voodun. We have swamps.
Yeah.
The lower half of our state is a swamp. We can go 5 minutes from this house we're sitting in and find a swamp. And swamps are scary as shit. You go to Mississippi, you know what their horror stories are? They're based off of something that actually happened, like the Hook Man or some murderer. You go to Alabama and like you get sloths furnished where there's ghosts. You go to Florida and there's just meth.
Well, what I was saying is that like when you go across the southern United States, there's always like old world stories. When I say that, I mean we have a storied history here that a lot of people don't like to get into, which I think we should.
You gotta admit your wrongs.
Yeah. But there's also like a special color to Louisiana like culture.
That is such a polite way of saying it.
Well, I'm talking about in terms of like urban legends, spirituality.
Well, that that's never fair.
Get like I wouldn't go to Texas and be like, oh yeah, there's like spooky things in Texas. Like, what the fuck happens in Texas aside from just being
Texas? You do not want me to answer that right now because I will get us in a whole hell of a lot of trouble. Well,
okay, let's focus on Louisiana. We have like some. I'm just gonna say it now. We got some pretty cool culture. We got some like supernatural stories. We got some spookiness. We got we are the spooky state of the South. That I think that's the best way to put it.
We are the scariest state in the South, and that is actually slightly terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about like Florida, but like Florida's just kind of ratchet. Like Florida,
wife stabs husband with taxidermied squirrel.
Yeah, I mean, and that's cool. Love you, Florida.
I don't.
Well, you know, we side-eye you, Florida.
I will shame you, Florida.
But, like, here in Louisiana, you're going to get, like, spooky stories. You're going to get, like, the mysterious, the weird. Like, there are things in other states.
Every state has a ghost story. However, Louisiana...
has a vibe.
Louisiana's weird. We have parishes. We use the Napoleonic Code still. We somehow file lawsuits against ourselves for what we were court-ordered to do in the first place just to argue the point because we're not happy about it and that we think we can find a loophole in said argument. Explaining that one after we cut off the mics. We have the most diverse culture from the onset because we are... French, we are Creole, and Creole in itself is you might have more Afro background, you may have more Native background, you might be more French, you might be more Spanish, because Creole is just such a mixing pot of terms and Native. That's so, I mean, you have such a mixing pot, and then you have the Cajuns, and then you have all the other immigrant groups that the rest of the United States all really didn't want.
Fucking idiots that came here.
Well, no, let me bring this up. A lot of times, if you didn't get accepted at Ellis Island, you got accepted down in New Orleans. So the reason we got so many crazy Irish and Italian and Germans that came to our section is because New York said no, and New Orleans went, eh.
Yeah, come on.
So all of a sudden, we got all the ideas mixed together, and we end up with this oddness. But
just to get into it, like, people don't realize, like, you know, we talk about Creole and Cajun, but we have a lot of Irish, German, and Italian. I mean, one of our most famous dishes is Italian.
Yeah, you gotta love the muffaletta. Everybody loves a good muff.
I love me a good fucking muff. Holy shit, it's so good. Nice and thick, lots of bread, just so much meat between there. Anyway, Hewitt, what are we talking about?
A lot of a mouthful. Anyway.
Super big mouthful.
Anyway, so the guy setting the story here also gives it a lot of credence to other people that don't know anything other than we're all apparently alligator shooting, fan boat riding, duck call making, devil / voodoo worshiping.
So it's True Blood.
That was set in Ruston?
Like, okay, Anne Rice aside, like, there's a lot of people that don't realize that Anne Rice lived in New Orleans and did everything in New Orleans, but... the whole big selling point for True Blood is like, oh, it's based in Louisiana and they're vampires. It's like...
Look, the one episode, the reason I can tell you that this show was set in Ruston, and then we probably need to cut it off for a bonus episode, is the episode where one of the vampires, we are going to drive 20 minutes over to Monroe. To the university there and pick us up a couple of college boys so that we can have a snack, and then we're gonna rush down to Baton Rouge and grab us another couple down there, and then we'll be back by late evening early morning before the sun gets up. And I'm going, okay, that means this bitch is in Ruston. These vampires are hanging out in Ruston, and the lady, the expat Louisianian that wrote this story, more or less based a lot of this off of Lincoln Parish, which has like one swamp. Lincoln Parish is also the only parish up here. You can't buy booze.
how we don't go to Lincoln Parish mostly.
However, I will say this. There's one thing I really love about the True Blood series. There is another way to kill vampires thanks to that series, and that is to make sure they get hepatitis.
Hell yeah. But thank you for this, Hewitt. I love Hewitt.
Phrasing right at that moment was really bad because I said hepatitis and you said thank you for this. No.
Thank you for hepatitis.
Editor Chris, put in a pause.
We're not doing it. Thank you for the hepatitis, Hewitt. No, thank you for bringing this to me. I hadn't actually heard about this. It's always cool to see how internet stories kind of metastasize into other things. Usually, when it metastasizes into, like, you know, a political movement, I don't like it, but this is fine.
I love how you're using a term for cancer with this, because that seems accurate and appropriate.
Yeah, that's why I used it.
Anyway, it's a fun little story. It's a nice creepypasta that deals with our state. And I'll be honest, it makes me kind of want to build one.
Yeah. Like, let's just build one out in your backyard or in my back. I don't give a shit. Let's build it.
You're more on a back road than I am, honestly. So we could.
Like we'll go out into the woods behind my house and we'll just build one. Fuck.
This is how we get everybody possessed. Anyway, thank y'all very much for listening to this, Chris. Thank you for putting up with me on this one.
Of course. We are usually post on Tuesday, but this one I don't remember.
It's a bonus episode. You post this. This is a little lanyap for you.
But we are on every podcast. Hopefully, we'll be on Apple by the time we post this. And we will have our social media set up here soon. But in the meantime, we are on Team Bonus Action. Hand it over to Hewitt.
You can find us at teambonusaction.com or Team Bonus Action on Facebook, Instagram, Blue Skies, Threads. You can also find us on Twitch where we do our live play Pathfinder and D&D and whatever other tabletop RPG we're playing at that time. You can also find us on Twitter at @bonus_team. And hey, y'all have a good one.
Yeah, I hope you have a good day, night, morning, drive to work. Love you, buddy. I don't love you in that way, though. Don't take it.
Editor Chris, take out that last bit.
Just take out the last bit. Oh, my God. I made it weird.